Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Natural Eating with Alyssa. Today we are cooking dinner for two. And I think, you know, with this whole cooking for two meal recipe series is something that, you know, sometimes you just don't want to prepare a whole lot of food. I know in our neck of the woods right now it's very hot. And so you don't want to be cooking for long at all. In fact, salad sounds better than they ever have. And I think, you know, this is something where you're just looking at the seasons, looking at the conditions, you know, and making plans so that you can do something simple, I think is important. You know, I was looking up, you know, just the word dinner and the fact that, you know, its origin was to break a fast, which is interesting because I think of breakfast as that, not dinner. But this was the old French word, dîner. And it, over time, shifted just to mean the main meal, regardless of time. And so, you know, if you think of this as your main meal, then I love how sometimes you can consider creating atmosphere, whether it's romantic or relaxed or formal or casual. And I think, you know, this is something that creates a whole... being playful in your kitchen, being playful in your presentation, and being playful in the way that you can present your meal and know that you're doing something to bring the family together. And in this situation, a family can be two. And so it's the notion that it doesn't have to be a whole host of people. It can just be you and one other special person that you like to do things with. And I started looking at, there's so many choices for dinner. You know, if you're making a casserole, you can make a small casserole. It doesn't have to be huge. You know, I love making small pizzas. And one year I was the person in charge of the children at a conference of psychological teachers and practitioners. And we made the choice of little pizzas that the kids could make, and I included vegetables because I thought, well, if I put them there, they'll use them. And sure enough, they did. And at the end of the conference, several parents came up to me and said, you know, you got my kid to eat something that he typically wouldn't eat at all. And I said, yeah, because I made it playful. And I think this is something that doing that for yourself can make it more pleasant to be in the kitchen and to, you know, consider what it is you're doing. You know, meatloaf certainly has so many varieties, and whether it's made with meat or it could be a meatless meatloaf. So you certainly have choices there. There's so many choices for pasta. I mean, pasta is perhaps one of the staples for so many places to have a meal and to know that when you're creating this cooking for two, it's just as easy to cook a small amount of pasta as a large amount. I think some of the, you know, more popular recipes, you know, talk about a pot pie, for example, or a fajita, or soup. You know, soup for dinner is wonderful. You could call it stew if you make it thicker, and I think this is something that, you know, you could make a chicken noodle soup or a cauliflower soup. I remember once my mother made me a soup, and I was not eating dairy at the time, And I got the soup home, and I heated it up, and it just looked so much like dairy. And sure enough, she called me less than a minute later, like she was reading my mind. She said, "Nope, no dairy." I said, "How did you know I was concerned about that?" She said, "It's cauliflower. And cauliflower can certainly enrich and enliven a dish so that you don't have to deal with dairy, but you can have the creaminess and the thickness and the whiteness that we associate with dairy." And I think this is the kind of thing when you're cooking for two, when you're cooking dinner for two, you know, you can consider doing that kind of a choice. You know, there's certainly the shrimp and grits, and you can make meatballs or meatless balls. You can use a pressure cooker, which is fun, or you can use a slow cooker. So, you know, again, your choices are, I'd say endless, but it's the kind of thing where I'm always amazed at the new choices that come up, and that, you know, whether you're making your own homemade pizza or your own cabbage rolls, you know, you can do so much. And I appreciate the fact that we live at a time where you can look things up and there's so many choices. And I think to know that those choices are there and that you have the ability to literally play with your food. And I think this is, you know, one of the things that I have enjoyed with this series is looking it up. You know, it's some of it. There's a website called 35 Easy, you know, Dinner Recipes. Insanely good. Let's eat. You know, and this is recipes for two. And so, you know, if you can picture a lemon chicken asparagus pasta, you know, where you've cooked the asparagus and you've added chicken and pasta to it and put it all together. You know, you have some, again, some wonderful flavors to play with, whether you're using lemon zest and the lemon juice, which certainly brightens and makes this kind of a dish taste that much more fresh. It's kind of fun. And it's also, oh, by the way, one of the best-kept secrets, if you add too much salt, add more lemon, and it cuts the salt. And that way, you know, you can enjoy your dish without having to go, "Oh, no, I put too much salt." Which is to say, once again, don't over-season. You can always add seasoning, but it's hard to take it away. And so that's important. You know, I was looking at, you know, some of the recipes, and just hearing the title sometimes sparks an image, and sometimes you have a recipe that perhaps a relative used. You know, whether it's shrimp scampi or a baked salmon, or they had a wonderful tomato parmesan soup that's just creamy. It's a tomato soup that's got parmesan in it. And, you know, I enjoy putting together combinations that people expect, but also people might not expect, which is kind of fun. You know, it's they have one that they call Marry Me Chicken. That has sun-dried tomatoes and garlic and red pepper flakes and oregano and Parmesan cheese in the sauce. So that way you can, you know, again, take chicken, which, again, there's so many wonderful ways to cook chicken that, you know, the Caprese chicken skillet, you know, that has the balsamic vinegar and honey. So, again, thinking of flavors that you don't necessarily use on a daily basis, which you might use for these special dinners. And if you're cooking a special dinner, especially, you know, a tomato Mexican rice, you know, sometimes you can picture it in your mind, and then you can always, again, go look it up online and see what you've got that you can put together and play with. And, you know, I think this is sometimes the notion of breakfast for dinner. You know, this is, I'm looking at a recipe called a skillet strata with cheddar. And, you know, to downsize the strata, this is from the American Test Kitchen library, they switched from a casserole dish to an 8-inch skillet. So, again, the size of the dish that you cook it in makes a difference. And the whole milk provides a kind of richness so you don't overwhelm the dish. You know, and then toasting little bite-sized squares of bread, sort of like having croutons, if you will, ensure that that they maintain structure when they're doused in custard, so that they like cheddar cheese for the sharp flavor and the sautéed onion and thyme that lend. I love the description aromatic notes. It's kind of fun. Baking the strata in the same skillet in which they sauteed the onions, again, makes it easier for cleanup. But also, I always love those little flavor bits that get cooked into the sauce when you're doing this kind of creating the sauté for the dish. And you don't want to trim the crust, or it just gets too dense and it gets edgy, and you don't want that. And you'll need an 8-inch oven-safe non-stick skillet for this recipe. And you're using 3 whole large eggs and 1/3 cup of whole milk, and then spices. We'll talk about that. So you're adjusting the oven rack to the middle position, and you're going to heat the oven to 425 degrees. And you're going to whisk the eggs and the milk and the thyme and the salt and pepper together in a bowl. And you stir that in cheese, and you set it aside. Now, you don't have to use a lot. You're using about a teaspoon of minced fresh thyme or 1/4 teaspoon of dried. You always use less when you're using dried spices because they're so much more potent. Just 1/4 teaspoon of table salt, not much, and just 1/4 teaspoon of pepper. Again, not much. You can always add more later. And you're just taking the 2 ounces of cheddar cheese that's been shredded, which measures out to about 1/2 cup. And that's your setting the cheese aside. The onion, it's just 1 small onion that's been chopped fine. And you're going to be melting the butter in an 8-inch oven-safe skillet over heat. And now you're adding that 1 small onion that you've chopped fine. And you cook until it's nice and soft, kind of glistens, lightly brown, just about 5 to 7 minutes. Doesn't take long. And then you add the bread and you cook using the heat-resistant rubber spatula to kind of fold that bread and the onion together until the bread is lightly toasted. It just takes about 3 minutes. Doesn't take long at all. And then off the heat, you fold in the egg mixture until it's slightly thickened and well combined with the bread. And then you gently press down on the bread to help it soak up that egg mixture so it doesn't just float on top. And you bake it until the edges and the center of the strata are puffed and the edges have pulled away slightly from the sides of the skillet, again, at a 425-degree oven. And this takes 12 to 15 minutes, again, doesn't take long. And using the pot holders, because it's going to be hot, the skillet handle will certainly be hot, you want to remove that skillet from the oven, and let it sit for 5 minutes before you serve. So, this is something where there's so many variations with this. You can add sausage and Gruyere, and you substitute the cheddar cheese, and then you reduce the butter, and you add 4 ounces of crumbled raw breakfast sausage to the skillet with the onion. So you have some fun that you can do and play with. I know for me, quiche is something that I certainly enjoy, and I think quiche is something that you can certainly make for dinner. It's one of those things you can make ahead of time and eat it. Doesn't have to be eaten hot, so this is kind of fun. This recipe, the classic cheese quiche, first you need to just let go of a full-size pie plate. A 6-inch pie plate produces a wonderfully tasty little quiche for 2 people. And for a crisp, flaky crust, they parbake the dough to keep the filling from turning the crust soggy. And for the filling, you're using 2 eggs and 2/3 cup of 1/2 and 1/2. It gives you a nice creamy texture and a slightly eggy flavor, which is kind of fun. So You'll need a 6-inch pie plate, and if you want to use the buttery flavor and that kind of flaky texture of homemade pie dough, or you can substitute the store-bought pie dough. Either one will work. It's just important to add the custard to the crust while it's still warm, because if the crust is cooled, you want to rewarm it in the oven for about 5 minutes before you add the custard. So you're rolling the dough into a 10-inch circle, about 3/8 of an inch thick, on a lightly floured counter, and you want to loosen the roll dough. Loosely roll the dough around the rolling pin and gently unroll it into the 6-inch pie plate. I love it when I see that happen on the show, you know, so you can kind of picture it in your mind. And you're going to ease the dough onto the plate by gently lifting the edge of the dough with your hand while pressing into the plate bottom with your other hand so that you're letting the excess dough overhang the plate. And you're going to trim that overhang to about a 1/2 inch beyond the lip of the pie plate and tuck the overhang under itself, and you're folding the edge so it'll be flush with the edge of the pie plate, and just crimp it. You know, you can put your thumb between two fingers, and that's a simple way of crimping. And you want to wrap it, that dough-lined plate loosely in plastic wrap and place it in the freezer until the dough is fully chilled and firm. It takes about 20 minutes. So that's sort of your head start, if you will. And then you're adjusting your oven rack to the lower middle position and heat the oven to 375 degrees. And you're going to line the chilled pie shell with parchment paper or a double layer of aluminum foil, it's like parchment paper, covering the edges to prevent burning, and fill the pie weight with weights. And you bake until the pie dough looks dry and it's light in color, about 25 to 30 minutes. And then you transfer the pie plate to a wire rack and remove the weights and the parchment. The crust must still be warm when the custard filling is added. Okay, so now you reduce your oven temperature to 350 degrees, and you're going to line the rimmed baking sheet with aluminum foil and whisk half and half, and the eggs. Again, you're using 2 large eggs and about 2/3 of a cup of half and half, and chives, and just 2 teaspoons of minced fresh chives, and just, you know, a little pinch of table salt, a little pinch of salt, of pepper, together in a 4-cup liquid measuring cup. And you stir the cheddar, which is about 1/2 cup of shredded cheddar, until it's all well combined. And then you place the baked pie crust on the prepared sheet and return that shell to the oven and carefully pour your egg mixture into the crust until it reaches about 1/2 inch from the top of the edge of the crust. You might have a little extra egg mixture, so just pay attention when you're pouring. And you're going to bake that quiche until the top is lightly browned. The very center will still jiggle a little and look slightly underdone, and the knife inserted about 1 inch from the edge comes out clean. And then 30 to 40 minutes, that's the baking time at that 350 degrees. And you're going to let the quiche cool on a wire rack for about 30 minutes. And you want to serve slightly warm or at room temperature. And, you know, it's fun because there's so many variations. The quiche Lorraine, you know, while the crust bakes in step, you know, 3 and you're going to cook 2 slices of bacon and cut it into pieces, and then in the 8-inch skillet over medium-low heat, using a slotted spoon, you're going to transfer the bacon, and it only takes about 10 minutes to cook the bacon, to a paper towel that's on a lined plate, and you're going to pour off all but a tablespoon of the fat from the skillet, so you're not... You're going to add 1/4 cup of finely chopped onion, and you're going to cook all this over medium heat until it's softened and lightly browned, about 5 to 7 minutes. Then you set it aside. You substitute 2 ounces of Gruyere cheese, for the cheddar cheese, and you whisk the bacon and onion into the egg mixture, and you cook it, reducing that oven temperature to 350, and you line the rimmed baking sheet with aluminum foil, and you've got quiche Lorraine. And it's, you know, I think with all this, again, you're looking to have fun for cooking dinner for two. And so it's finding recipes that you like that you can cut back, or finding the recipe that's already set up for two. I think this is some of the joy in creating these recipes and creating these shows, is that, again, it doesn't have to be cooking for hordes, but you've got one other person that you enjoy treating. So when we come back, we'll be talking more about cooking dinner for two. Stay tuned. Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflair.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And welcome back to Cooking for Two on Natural Eating. And, you know, I think sometimes cooking grains for dinner is something that, again, you can add so many things to it so that it's a simple, you know, food. So that quinoa is something that I enjoy. It's kind of nutty. It's high in protein. And so there's all sorts of fun things that you can do with it. And so I was looking up, you know, the different recipes in this Cooking for Two from America's Test Kitchen. And they talked about a quinoa pilaf. And so, you know, why this recipe works, they like to be a little chatty, and I appreciate that about their recipe books, because it gives you the sense that, again, real people have tested these recipes out, and it's the kind of recipe that you know somebody's already played with so that they can enjoy sharing it with you. So, you know, this hearty flavor, the chewy texture, and the complete protein, which quinoa has increasingly become a more popular dish. And it's true. I think people know the word quinoa, even though it's spelled funny, Q-U-I-N-O-A. But, you know, this super grain can work in a quick and an easy pilaf. So they rinse the quinoa to remove that bitter coating, and they toasted it in an extra virgin olive oil just to deepen the flavor. And this step also ensures that the pilaf has a distinct, it stays individual, it doesn't clump together. This rich, savory flavor, they'd simply toasted the quinoa and chicken broth along with a little thyme, so that, again, you know, doing a little toasting where it absorbs the flavors before it starts cooking. Because once the grains are tender, then you remove it from the pot, from the heat, and you let it sit for 10 minutes before fluffing the grain with a fork. And then you're going to be placing a kitchen towel under the lid, absorbing that steam and keeping the grain from getting soggy. That's an interesting trick to do, again, when you're cooking something, is you don't want the food to reabsorb water that's going onto the lid because of the convection process and steaming. And so they like the convenience of the pre-washed quinoa because it removed that quinoa's bitter protective coating. If you buy unwashed quinoa, you want to rinse it and then spread it out on a clean dish towel to dry for about 15 minutes. So you're going to be heating the oil, about a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, in a medium saucepan over medium-high heat, and it'll be shimmering. And you want to add a small onion that you've chopped fine, and cook until the onion is softened. It takes about 5 minutes. And then you add the quinoa, and you cook. You want to stir it often because you want to keep it nice and fresh, if you will. You don't want it to clump up. And so the quinoa will be toasted and aromatic. It only takes about 5 minutes to do that. And you stir in about a cup and a fourth of vegetable or chicken broth. And you bring it up, everything up with the thyme, and you let it simmer, and you reduce the heat to low, and you cover it. And the quinoa will be a little translucent and tender. It takes about 16 to 18 minutes. Quinoa cooks pretty quickly, so it's fun to play with it. And then you remove the saucepan from the heat, you remove the lid, and you place that folded, clean kitchen towel over the saucepan. And you replace the lid, and you let the quinoa sit for 10 minutes. So it's kind of cooking in its own juices. And then you gently fluff with a fork, and you season with salt and pepper. Now, you can do some fun variations with this. You can add goat cheese, which I love, feta, and chives. So you're substituting the two minced garlic cloves for onion, and you cook it until fragrant, and it's about 30 seconds, not much at all, before you add the quinoa. And then you add a tablespoon of minced chives to the saucepan, and you fluff the quinoa. And then you sprinkle on top with about a fourth of a cup of goat cheese before serving. And again, you could add any vegetables you like to this. You could add salsa to this. So you can make it very tasty and very colorful. And I think this is what's fun with dishes like this. You know, you could do a quinoa salad, for example, with red pepper and cilantro. And, you know, you're going to be toasting in this situation the quinoa. And it's just two-thirds of a cup of pre-washed white quinoa in a small saucepan over medium heat. And you're going to stir often until it's lightly toasted and aromatic, about 5 minutes. Again, doesn't take long. And then you stir in about a cup of water, and you add just a tiny bit of salt, and you bring that to a simmer, and you reduce the heat to low, and you cover, and you simmer until the quinoa has absorbed most of the water, and it's tender. It just takes about 12 to 14 minutes. It doesn't take long. and you're spreading that quinoa on a rimmed baking sheet that's been lined with a clean dish towel. Again, it's that so the quinoa doesn't absorb that steamed water and make it soggy. And then you let it cool for about 20 minutes, and so the kind of steam cooks. And so when the quinoa is cool, you're transferring this to a serving bowl, and you stir in bell pepper. Now, again, for color, if you want to add different colors of bell pepper, the red, the yellow, the orange, even the purple, you can get quite a colorful salad out of this. And I think this, again, makes that cooking for two just that much more playful and fun to enjoy. Jalapeno adds a little heat, and the onion. It's not a lot of jalapeno. It's just you're going to be adding, oh, a couple tablespoons, not much at all. I'm looking over the ingredients here. And in a separate bowl, you're going to whisk oil, a little lime juice, a little mustard and garlic and cumin, and then you pour it over the quinoa and you toss it to coat. So you season with a little salt and pepper and you serve it. And I think, you know, again, with a light hand with the seasoning and a colorful display with the bell pepper, you can make this dish quite exotic and quite fun to play with. And I think that's, again, half the fun of cooking for two and cooking this dinner meal as something that might surprise your guests because it's something that you haven't done before. When we come back, we'll have more recipes on cooking for two and natural eating. Stay tuned.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflare.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to elysachefforyou@live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number four, the letter U, at live.com. Elyssa, chefforyou@live.com. Start learning now.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Order one of Alyssa's four recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
It's a fact. With Clarins, life is more beautiful, and so are you. If you love beauty, and let's face it, love is behind everything we do, then you'll love Clarins Beauty Products. I use Clarins, and people ask me all the time how I stay looking so young. I tell them it's love. But now you know my real secret. It's Clarins. They have a full line of highly effective beauty products containing the highest quality ingredients while respecting the environment. Who wouldn't love that? Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Clarins and make your life more beautiful, starting with you.
Remember, get positive emotions at www.healthylife.net.
welcome back to Cooking for Two. Our dinner menu could certainly include something lentil salad with olives and mint and feta. So that, you know, this kind of bright tasting lentil salad, you know, the lentils retain their shape and, you know, a nice firm / tender bite. And, you know, they brine the lentils in warm salt water to soften the lentil skin. And then they bake the lentils to heat them gently and uniformly. So once you have your perfectly cooked lentils, all you have to do is bring them together with a tart vinaigrette and a few boldly flavored additions. You could add Kalamata olives, which I love, fresh mint, a little creamy feta for a Mediterranean flavor or flair. And although the green lentils, you can use either, they say you work with any type of lentil except red or yellow. The cooking times may vary depending on the type of lentil you use. And brining helps to keep the lentils intact, but this step can be skipped if you're in a hurry. So you're going to be putting about a half a cup of lentils that have been picked over and rinsed and a half a teaspoon of salt in a bowl, and you cover with 2 cups of warm water. You let it soak for an hour. And this process, the brining, you want to drain it well, and drain lentils can be refrigerated for up to 2 days before cooking. So you could do this ahead of time if you'd like, and then combine it on the night of your meal. Now you're going to be adjusting the oven rack to the middle position and heat the oven to 325 degrees. And then you're placing the drained lentils with a cup of warm water, a little bit of broth, about a cup of chicken or vegetable broth, a little garlic, and you can do 2 garlic cloves that have been slightly crushed and they've been peeled, a bay leaf, which is always fun. I find that flavor is something that I have used traditionally for soup, but they certainly work very well for lentils, and a cup of warm water. Again, you're using that vegetable or chicken broth. You're using the garlic and a bay leaf, the salt in a medium saucepan, and you cover, and you're going to bake the lentils until they're tender, but they're going to stay intact about 40 minutes to an hour. You know, meanwhile, you're whisking your oil and your vinegar all together in a large bowl, and then you drain the lentils, discarding the garlic and the bay leaf, and you add the drained lentils to olives, and you're using about 1/4 cup of coarsely chopped pitted Kalamata olives, your mint, about 1/4 cup of chopped fresh mint, and your shallot, which about one shallot that's been minced, to that dressing, and toss to combine all this with the lentils. And then you season with salt and pepper to taste, and you sprinkle with feta, and you serve it. And, you know, again, this is one of those colorful dishes. It's certainly rich in protein. And it's, you know, it's fun to do this vegetarian style as well as, you know, with the meat broth, depending on what's your preference. You know, I think adding goat cheese to all of this certainly adds a whole nother quality of meat. Based protein, not meat, but milk-based protein. Your spiced lentil and rice pilaf, which again is combining your beans and your rice, you're going to be bringing a half a cup of brown lentils that have been picked over and rinsed, and with 2 cups of water, and you bring that with about a half a teaspoon of salt to boil. And it's in a small saucepan. You're going to use high heat, and you're going to reduce the heat to low, and you cook until the lentils are tender. It only takes about 12 to 15 minutes, so it doesn't take long at all. Then you drain that and you set it aside. And you're going to wipe the saucepan clean with paper towels. And now you're going to heat the oil, extra virgin olive oil, just about a tablespoon, over medium heat until it's shimmering. And then you take one shallot and mince it, and an eighth of a teaspoon of salt, and you cook until it's soft. Again, it only takes about 3 minutes. And you stir in the garlic and the turmeric and the coriander and the cayenne. So these are just little pinches of spice. Again, do not add too much turmeric. It makes it bitter. And I think I had a friend who did that, and she was so upset because she thought she could add as much as she wanted. And you do not want to do that with turmeric. It has a bitter flavor. Then you're going to be cooking the rice. Into this mixture of salt and garlic and coriander. And you're going to be adding about, the broth you're going to be adding to cook about a cup and a quarter of broth. And you're going to bring all that to a boil. You reduce the heat to low and cover it, and you cook until the rice is nice and tender and the water is absorbed. So again, that's 10 to 15 minutes. You let it sit off the heat for about 10 minutes, again, so it'll continue to steam. And you fluff the rice and the lentils with a fork, and you transfer to a serving platter. And you could sprinkle it with pistachios and cilantro. And if you want, you can serve it with yogurt. Again, you know, how you serve this can create a whole meal. It can create a side dish. I think this is kind of fun. You know, I think, you know, they have some notes here where it says, you know, lentils come from many parts of the world in dozens of sizes and colors with, you know, considerable differences in flavor and texture. And because they're thin-skinned, they require no soaking, which makes them a highly versatile bean. And they're most commonly available. There's the brown and the green, and then there's the lentils de poi. And these dark green French lentils around the city of Le Poy are smaller than the more common brown and green varieties. And then there's a red and yellow lentil, and they're Indian lentils, and they're small, and they come split and skinless, so they completely disintegrate into a uniform consistency when they're cooked. So this is kind of fun to play around with and enjoy for your cooking for two. And when we come back, more recipes. Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
Cooking with Sunflare solar ovens makes food taste great. The Sunflare solar oven uses the sun and never needs wood, charcoal, gas, or electricity, which means no carcinogenic residue. It's so portable and lightweight that you can take it anywhere. Cook the most delicious foods you've ever tasted. It's perfect for your emergency kit, too. Visit sunflare.net. That's sunflair.net for the best gift ever. Act fast. Call 855-786-3524. That's 855-786-3524.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. Earth Channel webcastingpanel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Schedule your own private food preparation workshop with me, Alyssa. Let me coach you to prepare the healthiest, tastiest meals in minutes. Learn in the privacy of your own kitchen with one or all of my recipe books. I love teaching. Learn what you want. To set up your session, send an email to Elyssa, chefforyou, at live.com. That's E-L-Y-S-A, chef, the number four, the letter U, at live.com. Elyssa, chefforyou, at live.com. Start learning now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
All right, and welcome back to Cooking Dinner for Two. And, you know, pasta is certainly one of the favorite dishes for any meal. It even tastes good for breakfast, quite frankly. But, you know, having it for lunch and dinner, and, again, adding different things to it. In this situation, instead of doing a basil pesto, there's doing an almond pesto, so we'll talk about that, which is kind of fun. The slivered almonds kind of, you know, you want to brown them evenly, and they're certainly crunchy. And, you know, basil plays a wonderful, if you will, supporting role. Just a fourth of a cup offers that kind of freshness without dominating all the other ingredients. And then just a dash of red wine vinegar contributes a kind of brightness, and a little Parmesan cheese. I know I enjoy that in a pesto anyway. So you're going to be processing 6 ounces of cherry or your grape tomatoes. You're going to be taking about a fourth of a cup of fresh basil. You're going to be taking 2 tablespoons of the slivered almonds that have been toasted. A little bit of garlic, just 1 garlic clove that's been minced. Again, a tiny pinch of table salt. Just about 1/4 teaspoon of red wine vinegar. And your pepper flakes, about 1/8 teaspoon. Just think about it. You don't have to use a whole lot. That's okay if you want to use less, as they say. You're putting all this in the food processor, and you get this nice and smooth. And you want to scrape the sides down, you know, as you need. And then with that processor running, you slowly add the olive oil. And it's just 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil until it incorporates. It takes about 30 seconds. It doesn't take long at all. Meanwhile, if you can bring 2 quarts of water to boil in a large pot, and you're going to be adding pasta, and you can add... Let's see, you're going to be adding how much pasta? Oh, not much. Well, they don't say. Why would they do that? Well, you're going to be adding enough pasta for the meal, and you reserve about 1/2 cup. Of the cooking water, and then you drain the pasta and you add it to the pesto. And you add the Parmesan and you toss all this, combining it, and then you season that with a little salt to taste, and you adjust the consistency with the reserved cooking water. That cooking water can be a wonderful source of both flavor and a way of getting the flavors to marry. And I think this is kind of fun, so that, you know, you can enjoy putting together a meal. I know I enjoy making pesto with parsley and with fresh basil and with pine nuts and a little Parmesan. So there's so many wonderful ways to make pesto, and I think that's important to kind of think about. A linguine with a quick tomato sauce, you know, while you're getting that jar of tomato sauce open. You just want to do a simple from scratch. It doesn't take that much longer, and the flavor is so much better if you make your own sauce. So you're going to pulse about one can of whole peeled tomatoes that have been drained in a food processor. It'll be coarsely chopped. No large pieces should remain, about 6 to 8 pulses. And then you're going to cook about 5 teaspoons of oil and about 2 garlic cloves that have been minced. This is all in a medium saucepan over medium heat. You want to stir it often until it's fragrant, but you don't want it to get it browned. Only about 2 minutes. And then you stir in those pulsed tomatoes, and you bring it to simmer, and you cook until it's slightly thickened. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes. And then off the heat, you stir in about 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh basil, just a little bit of sugar, about 1/4 teaspoon, not much. And you can use the whole sugar. You don't have to use white sugar. You want to season it with salt and a little sugar. It's interesting, that salt-sugar mixture often brings out the flavor of both. Meanwhile, you're going to take 2 quarts of water to boil in a large pot, and you're going to be adding your pasta, you're going to be using about 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and you cook, and you want to stir often until it's al dente, which is fun. You know, I think some of this is having a good time in your kitchen and knowing that, you know, you reserve that 1/2 cup of cooking water and you drain the pasta and you return it to the pot, and then you're going to add the sauce and you're combining, and then you're seasoning with salt and pepper, just enough to taste, and then you adjust the consistency with that reserved cooking water as you need to do it. And I think, you know, this is kind of fun when you're doing something, again, for a friend, and just doing a quick meal for two. You know, I think you can do a hands-off spaghetti and meatballs where you adjust the oven rack to the middle position. You're going to be heating the oven to 475 degrees. You're spraying just an 8-inch square baking pan with a little vegetable oil, and you loosely wrap your pasta in a dish towel and then press that bundle against the corner of the counter. Just break the noodles into 6-inch lengths, and you're using 6 ounces of spaghetti. You're going to be spreading your pasta in a prepared dish. You're going to pour the sauce over and gently toss it with tongs to coat. And, you know, you can use a fork. You can mash a little panko and milk in a large bowl till that forms. And you're going to be adding the beef pesto, salt, and pepper. And you knead the mixture with your hand. And well combined. My phone has decided to combine with other callers, but just let them do what they're doing because they don't ever talk. And you're covering the dish with aluminum foil, and you bake for 30 minutes. And, you know, I think what's going on with all these dishes, whether it's pasta, whether it's pizza, whether it's, chicken, whether it's fish, you can do so much with Dinner for Two. Stay tuned. We'll have closing thoughts. Order one of Alyssa's 4 recipe books. Call her to find out which one is best for you, whether it's juicing, blending, or preparing an entire meal. Become the best restaurant on your block. Phone her today to order the right recipe book for you. Call area code 760-251-7488. That's 760-251-7488.
760-251-7488. 760-251-7488. Call today.
Whether you're taking a short trip or traveling across the world, Magellans.com is the world's most trusted source for travel, and they guarantee 100% satisfaction. They have everything you need to make travel just a bit more pleasurable. Who doesn't like that? They have travel alarms, clothing, the best luggage, wallets, everything you need except the ticket. Visit the advertiser page on HealthyLife.net and click on Magellans now. You will not only see their travel products, but get a free catalog and read articles with tips on how to make your travel easier. Visit the advertiser page and click on Magellans now.
Want the best kitchen equipment for juicing, blending, or processing the freshest foods possible? Call TriBest and order your own Green Star juicer and food processor, or a personal blender, or much more. Be sure to tell them Alyssa sent you from Natural Eating with Alyssa. Call now at 888-254-7336. That's 888-254-7336. 888-254-7336. Call today.
A better world begins with you. Find out how on HealthyLife.net.
Well, I hope you enjoyed cooking dinner for two today. I know there's so many wonderful recipes. You know, whether you're baking something, grilling something, whether you're making a pizza, whether you're making a pasta. I think all of these are fun, and there's so many recipes that you can, if you will, cut back so that you have for two instead of for 10 or for 12. And I think this is something where I so enjoy these for two menus, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. I think it's just time to share a meal with a friend. And this can be a simple pleasure. It can be something that you can do with not much time, actually. A lot of these meals cook very quickly. And I think it's just fun to have fun. So as I always encourage, keep playing with your food. Take care. God bless.